Okay, we are up to Sefer Shmuel Beis, Perek Beis, and we had a haschala last time with the beginning of the Sefer. Shaul has been killed, Shaul and his and Yonah's son and his men. David HaMelech reacts very seriously to the news, not that, oh, thank God, he doesn't want to kill me anymore, but he is in pain, he mourns, he kills the Nar Maleki that either just reported or actually finished off Shaul. And he ends up giving a kina, repeating Eich naflu giborim a number of times. Now we continue, as we mentioned, the first couple of prakim is finishing up stories of Shmuel Beis and really laying the groundwork of David HaMelech taking over to be the king. Three events here at the beginning of the Sefer pave the way for David HaMelech taking over. He reacts and cries. He reacts negatively and cries over all of the events, even though they all had to happen before he was ultimately the king. Shaul HaMelech has been killed, that's number one. Number two, in this perek, as we will see, there'll be someone else killed, and in the following perek, there'll be someone else killed. As we'll see, what happens in this perek? David says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? He asked the Urim and Tumim, should I go up to Ara Yehuda? Remember, he's still in the land of the Plishtim. He was in hiding. He wasn't in the battle. He was taken out of the battle, as is described at the end of Sefer Shmuel Aleph, and he has HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should I leave? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, okay, you could go, and David goes to Hebron, we'll see why. And he goes with his two wives, Ahinoam and Avigail, and the men that were with him, they settle in Hebron, and they, the Anshe Yehuda, anoint him there. Meanwhile, David is told that the people of Yavesh Gilead were the ones that took care of burying Shaul. David is very happy. Baruchim Atem Lashem. He blesses them. He does not say, again, over and over again, he does not hold any grudges, and he's very thankful that Shaul HaMelech was zoche to be buried. Meanwhile, Avner ben Ner, Avner, who was a cousin and the general of Shaul HaMelech, he takes Ish-Boshes, the son of Shaul. We haven't heard him before. Ish-Boshes, the son of Shaul, and makes him king in Machanoyim and Gilad, and he tries to usurp, so to speak, or to prevent David HaMelech from becoming king. He was 40 years old at the time, the Navi says, he was king for only 2 years, while David HaMelech was king for 7.5 years in Hebron, before he ultimately, as we'll see later, Be'ezus Hashem, went to Yerushalayim. Meanwhile, what happens now? Now there are two malachim, so to speak. Avner, who is the general of Ish-Boshes, and Yoav ben Tsruya, who is the general of David's men. Tsruya was David's sister, so Yoav was David's nephew. Yoav, there are three brothers. Yoav, Avishai, and Asael are all sons of Tsruya. They're all named Ben Tsruya in the Navi. That's an answer to a trivia question. Right? Besides Esther, which woman's name is mentioned more times in Tanakh? The answer is Tsruya. Tsruya is David's sister, and whenever any of these people are mentioned, Yoav, Avishai, Asael, they are mentioned as the son of Tsruya. Right? The pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, in Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Beis, pasuk Tezayin lists off that Tsruya is one of the sisters of David. In any case, Avner and Yoav happened to meet in Brechad Givon, a little northwest of Yerushalayim, and they want to show each one of them who is the real king and who's the real boss. So they have a game. Avner suggests Yisachku Lefaneinu. Let's have a game and see who could do better swordsmanship. And it quickly turns tragic. The men, the 12 men on each side, kill each other, and it ends up being somewhat of a civil war, and many, many people, many hundreds of people, are killed on the side of Shaul, and a number of people on the side of David as well. And what happens towards the end of the perek, Asael runs after Avner. Avner, who is the general, again, of Shaul HaMelech, Asael runs after him. He's very fast. He catches up to him. Avner turns around and says, really, go away. I don't want to kill you. And Asael says, no, I don't want to kill you. And finally, Avner has no choice, it seems, and he kills Asael, the brother of Yoav and Avishai. When they hear about it, obviously, they are very extremely upset. But when they ultimately meet Avner towards the end of the perek, he says, enough already. There are so many people being killed. Let's try to stop. And they say, okay, let's stop for now. And as we'll see, until the end, until the next perek, when the battle continues. But that's how the perek ends. So, number two element that laid the groundwork for David HaMelech becoming king is not only that Shaul was killed, but Shaul's top general, Avner, actually, that's going to be the following perek, This parak is really leading up to the following parak when Avner, as we'll see, would be killed as well, along with Ishbosheth. But we have step one, and we have this tragic story in the beginning of the Sefer. We'll see there will be many difficult stories in this Sefer of Shmuel Beis of difficult occurrences in the life of David HaMelech and his family, but this is in regarding David's army. Okay, so let's get back to the beginning of the parak. So David at the beginning of the parak asks, Ha'ele ba'achas me'arei Yehuda. Unbelievable. David asks, should I go up? What do you mean? What are you asking for? You know you've already been anointed by Shmuel HaNavi. You know Shaul has acted incorrectly. He wanted to kill you. Now he's gone. So go. What do you have to ask for? Says the Malbim, this is David's Anava. This is how he is. Every single step of the way he asks Hashem. In contrast to Shaul, who didn't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the way until it was too late. But says the Malbim, the beginning of the parak, he asks because David was never machzik himself as anything. David lo hechzik malchus b'chazaka, ke'eved moreid ba'adonav. He never does. Lo b'tchilaso, ke'nimshach ha'idei navi, v'lo b'chayishol, sh'yinichna lefanav ke'eved neman, v'lo b'ratzvoso, even when he was being chased, he didn't do anything. And the pasuk even says here, yisaper ki gamata, lo haye b'dayto lashuv levakesh atara, he wasn't looking for the crown. What do you mean? He knew he was anointed. The Chashav, maybe he thought, Ula Yagia Hamachos Leben Shaul. Maybe Ishbosheth's his turn. I'll have a time. I'm not sure if this is the right time. Fulai lo Igia Dianas Manche Yimloch. Va'oz halo ye besakana b'shuva la'aretz. I'll be besakana. Maybe I should stay in there as Plishtim for a longer time. And therefore, he didn't do anything until he asked. When Hashem told him, he listened. He didn't say, oh, you know, maybe it's still Ishbosheth's time. When Hashem told him, he left and he went up. Vayomer David ana Eleh. And he says, where should I go? Vayomer Chevrona. And he tells him to go to Chevron. The Be'er Moshe here, in his commentary on Navi, suggests, quotes the Zohar. I remember the Be'er Moshe is Rev Moshe Yechiel Halevi Epstein, the Azaravar, and he quotes the Zohar, which says, V'ki kivan de mis Shaul, u malchusa is chazi l'David. One Shaul died, and the malchus was ready for David, amaylo kabo malchusa, miyad, I'll call Yisrael. Why didn't immediately he become the Melech? What do you have to go to Chevron for? Ella kulo raza de chachma se'iyu. This is all the secret wisdom. Begin to David, les leila kabbalah malchusa. David cannot be the king. Adi yischaber ba'avuhon de'inun bechevron. Unless he connects to the avos. Hakadoshim, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And that's why Yadavka went back to Chevron to connect to the avos before he became king. And says the Be'er Moshe, this might even be merumaz in the psukim by Avram Avinu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham, Dafka in Chevron, u'malachim mimcha yetzeyu. Who is it, Reperek Yuzayin Pasuk Vav, in Bereishis? Who is that referring to? It's talking about Malchus Beis David. U'malachim mecha latzecha yetzeyu. I'm sorry, u'malachim mimcha yetzeyu. Mecha latzecha, the other pasuk in Vayechi. U'malachim mimcha yetzeyu is the pasuk by Avram Avinu, and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him that he will have malachim, and that's what's alluded to also in that pasuk, in two psukim later. V'rasati l'chol azarecha acharecha etzeres mugurecha, es kol eretz kena'an lachuzas olam. It's a double lashon. Once you say it's eretz mugurecha, why do you say it's kol eretz kena'an? So it's being merames to the Zaracha Acharecha, that's David. First he's going to be king over Eretz Megurecha, which is Chevron. And then call Eretz Canaan, but this is alluding to this story, suggests the Be'er Moshe. So he went back to Chevron to connect to the Avos, and he took his wives with him. Why is that important? Maybe to show his bitachon, that he wasn't nervous that anything was going to happen. He even took his family with him. Va'anashav, asher imo pasuk gimel, hello David ish ubeso, va'yeshvu bar Chevron. They stayed in Chevron, and then yeah, pasuk dalet. What they do in Chevron first thing? Va'yavo anshe Yehuda, va'yimshechu sham. As David lamelech al beis Yehuda, they anointed David as king over beis Yehuda. The question that all the Rishonim ask is, what did he need Mashiach for? He was already anointed. Shmuel already anointed him. So you might say, oh, Shmuel was betzina, and this is befarhesya, you need to do it in a public way. Or the Radak says, Afal Pikein Beisha Kibluhu, Amelach Mashru. No, still, once they accepted him, they were Moshechim. Is that just saying they didn't need it, they just did it anyway? Maybe not. If you look in the Rinas Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Sarutzkin's commentary on Sefer Shmuel, he says maybe there's a halachic issue. Because every Mashicha has two elements to it. Mashichas HaMelech. We might call it the Chalos Shei Melech. The Mashicha gives him the status of the king, but also gives him the right to act like a king and function like a king. The Hanhagas HaMelucha. He's a Melech and Hanhagas HaMelucha, two different elements. and they don't go together. Remember the story, of course, the Gemara in Maseches Megillah and Daf Yudalim, when Avigail was trying to convince David not to kill Naval, not to kill her husband. Remember the story when Naval rejected David's request for some food, some shearings. And David goes to kill Naval. Avigail stops him on the way and prevents him from sinning. And the Gemara says that she says to him, "Adain Shaul kayam velo yasa tivacha ba'olam." Shaul is still around. What do you mean Shaul is still around? You're not the full king. What, he's a Mori b'malchus? But maybe you're not a king yet. That's what she was saying to David HaMelech. So you see there, you can have a melech without hanhagas hamelucha. And therefore, it says the Rinas Yitzchak, La'olam ha-Mashiach ba al shnei dvarim. Chada le'ikr toras melech. To be a king, she'malchei beis David, te'unin Mashiacha, she'yachol alayu toras melech Mashiach. V'gam, number two, she'esh din Mashiach ba'anhagas ha-malucha. She'kishenimser lo anhagas ha-malucha, tzorach Mashiach. And he says this also, and that's what they were doing here. Once he was starting to act and be the king over at least part of Klal Yisrael, so that was it. That's why you needed another Mashiach, because the first Mashiach didn't allow that to take place at that time while Shaul was intact. This also might explain the Gemara in Maseches Krisos on Daf Hey, and the Rambam quotes it, that Mikra Adin, a Melech ben Melech, does not need Mashiach. Unless, the Gemara says, if there is a machlokes. If there's a machlokes about it, so then your Mosheachim kidei lesalik es a machlokes. This is the Rambam in Klei HaMikdash Aleph Yud Aleph. If there's a machlokes about which son or some other machlokes, then you do Mashiacha. Kidei lesalik es a machlokes ulohodia lakol shezeu melech levado. To let everybody know. So what do you mean let everybody know? You know, even you don't have to do Mashiacha again. Explains the Rinas Yitzchak, maybe this is the point, because there's a Mashiacha for Chaloshe Melech, which if he's a Melech in all ways at that time, so that can include both, but if he's not, then you need another one to give him the power of Hanhagas HaMelucha. And that is what happened in our case as well. Good. Let us continue. So, that's that he has another Mashiach. Then David hears that the people of Yavesh Gilad buried Shaul, and he gives him a special bracha. Again, the attitude of David is not like, thank God I'm rid of Shaul, but Baruch Hashem, somebody buried him, tremendous chesed, and he gives him a special bracha, Yath Hashem Yimachem Chesed Ve'emes, Hashem should do chesed ve'emes to you, and you should be strong, and you should be thanked. V'Avner Ben'er, Pasuk Ches, Sar Tzva Shel Shaul, then comes Avner. Avner, Lokaches Ish Boshes, Ben Shaul, he takes Ish Boshes, Why did he do that? Why did he take Ishbosheth? Why didn't he think he knew David was anointed already? Everybody knew, but he just wasn't powerful yet. Why did he do this? So Rashi quotes, and the Radak quotes, that he darshaned the Pasuk in Parshas Vayechi. The Pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu was told, Milachim michalatzecha yetzeyu. Right, in Breishis, Lamed Hey Yud Beis. So there was only one Sheva not born yet. Binyamin was not born yet. And he got this bracha from Hashem. So Avner understood that there has to be at least two kings that were going to come from Binyamin. So one was Shaul, so he thought, Ishbosheth is the other king. Mikra Hayadore Shasid, Shnei Malachim Lamo Bi Binyamin. That is Rashi. Even though, says the Radak again, Avavish Yada Avner Ki David Nimshach, even though he knew David was anointed, Hayim Eschazik, Lahamin Adayin Malchus Shaul, Befik Vikocha. He thought that it's not time yet. Maybe it'll be later, but it is not time yet for David to be the king. Interesting name, Ish-Boshes. Not such a common name, and he wasn't even listed earlier in the sons of Shaul, possibly because he wasn't old enough to go to battle yet. But either way, this is the name. Maybe some suggest that the name Ish-Boshes is because he didn't even want to be the king. He was a man of Boshes. He had Busha. He wasn't interested in the Malchus, but Avner picked him. Avner appointed him, but it wasn't that he was trying. Right, the Sefer Kehilas Yaakov suggests Shem is Baish Listarer after Hayelo Makom Litona Lamalucha Hol Mahu Mamali Makom Avosav Afalpikin Lohayerotze. Maybe that's why he was called Ishboshes and always called Ben Shaul, Shaul was also at the beginning in Ishbosheth, but that was Ishbosheth, and he takes him to Machanoyim, and he's Mamlechim in Gilad, Ashuri, Israel, Ephraim, Binyamin. Why these places? So it goes to Aver HaYarden. He obviously went to places who he thought would support him. He goes to Binyamin, Shaul's own Shevet. He goes to those areas. You know, maybe, if you want to give him Kavanis, L'Shem Shemayim, maybe this is connecting to the Ramban in Parshas Vayechi. Right, we've mentioned in other contexts, the Ramban in Perek Mem Tes Pasuk Yud on the Pasuk of Lo Yasser Shevet Mi Yehuda Umechokik Bibein Raglov, the Ramban there says, counts it as an Isser. There is an Avera for anyone who is not from Malchus Beis David to try to be the king. Lo Yasser Shevet Mi Yehuda is only from Malchus Beis David. This is not a Nevuah. This is a din. It's an avera, and that is why the Ramban says, in his famous words, the Malchus Beis Chashmonai, the story of Hanukkah, didn't last. After they took over, they were Kohanim. They should have stepped aside after they won the war and let people from Malchus Beis David take over to be the kings. But they didn't. They became the kings themselves, says the Ramban. That's why, tragically, they were all wiped out. As the Gemara says, "Vizeh ha'yonish ha'chashbonam shemalchav ba'yisheni ki ha'yu chaside elyon ve'il maleheim nishtachlu atar v'mitzvos miYisrael." They were amazingly pious. V'yafalpike ne'enshu onesh gadol, and still they had a terrible punishment. Ki arba bnei chashbonai azokin ha'chasidim ha'molchim zacharzim kol grosim aslachasam naflu b'yadayveim lacharib. They fell in battle. And v'yigia ha'onesh basof, and even the Gemara says at the beginning of Sechaz Basra that a woman went on a roof and said, if anybody ever says they're from the family of the Chashmonaim, they're lying, because I'm the last one, and she jumps off. Right, so there was nobody left. So that's the Ramban. It's a violation of Lo Yasser Shevet Yehuda. But then the Ramban says, what about Shaul? Shaul was appointed. The answer is the Issa didn't start yet. And then the Ramban says, if Shaul wouldn't have sinned, it is possible that he would have been the Melech also, at the same time as David HaMelech. David would have been the main Melech, and Shaul maybe would have been Melech over his Shevet, right, over his specific area. Vinyan Shaul ki bavur she dvar she'ilas ha-malchus be'isa hi nita ve'itzal HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo ratza la-hamlech aleim en ha-shevet ha-shalo ha-malchus lo yasu mena la-olam. It wasn't time yet when the Jews asked for a king. That's why Shaul became the king. It wasn't Roy yet. And then he would have stayed. So maybe that's what Avner was partially doing here. He was just putting him over some of the Jews, but it's clear that it expanded, and then he wasn't only interested in that. So what happens, the Torah also, the Navi here also says, Ishbosheth was 40 years old when he ruled over who he ruled over, and he was ruler for 2 years. But at that time, David ruled in Hebron for 7.5 years. There is a machlokas Rishonim. How do you calculate these 7.5 and 2 years? So from the time that Shaul died, David became the king in Hebron, 7.5 years, and then he went to Yerushalayim. Where were these 2 years of Ishbosheth? That is a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. And if it's only 2 years, that overlap with the 7 years. So for 5 years, the rest of Am Yisrael did not have a king. So when were those 5 years? Rashi says that those 5 years were, those 2 years were the end of David's reign there. The last 7.5 years of David's reign, that's when the 2 years took place. Rashi in Sanhedrin on Daf Chaf Amad Aleph. Umi Shemalach Ishbosheth ad yom shemalach David al kol Yisrael ha'yushtei shanim mechsa. 2.5 years, right? Semiyam chamei shanim be'misa Shaul l'malchus Ishbosheth. There were 5 years from the death of Shaul to the malchus Ishbosheth. The 5 years were at the beginning, and then the 2 years were the last years he overlapped. And Tosfos there, Sanhedrin Daf Chav, says exactly the opposite. No, right away, the first 2 years of David in Hebron were the first 2 years that Ishbosheth was the king, and after he was no longer the king, so then there was 5 years of no ruler in the rest of Klal Yisrael. But Osamayam Neschazek Avner v'chulu, and he continued. Tosfos there continues. You can look it up in Rashi and Tosfos Sanhedrin on Daf Chaf and Aleph. Good. Then we have the story. Avner and Yoav meet. Pashas, they happen to meet in Brechat Giv'on. And what do? They're standing on each side of the pool, and Avner makes the suggestion, Yakumu na na'arim v'yisachagu lefanenu. Let the na'arim get up and play in front of us. V'yisachagu, make a mischak. Right? The Radak says, it was to see who would be a better fighter. Doesn't seem like here that they actually wanted to kill each other, but there was a who would be a better fighter. And they each take 12 from each side, seemingly symbolic of each of the Shvatim, and they each take the swords and grab each other's heads and stab each other. 24 people dead right there. That was it. That set off bedlam and confusion and a civil war. What happens? A lot of people are killed. And in the interim, Avner runs away. Asael, the brother of Yoav and Avishai, runs after Avner. He was Kal Baraglav, says the Navi, and the Mishmas Ozov explains, he was Kal, he was quick in his feet, but he wasn't quick using his head. Meaning he shouldn't have run after him by himself, individually, but that's what he did. He was Kal Baraglav, but it was not something that was smart. Vayir Dov Asal Achrei Avner, he runs after Avner, and he doesn't want to turn away. Vayivan Avner Achrei, finally Avner turns around, Vayomer Ha'ataz Asal, he says, are you Asal? He says, yes, that's me. Avner says, Nitei Lechal Yemin Chal Smolecha, just go to the right or the left, meaning go come here. Pretend, the Barbanel says. He didn't want him to turn away and have nothing, because then he would be embarrassed for Asal that he couldn't catch up. He said, go find another soldier, pretend you were chasing him. Or go a different path and pretend you were doing something else. But go, take away his sword so he doesn't hurt you. But either way, don't stay here. It's clear that Avner did not want to kill him. Asal, though, doesn't give him a choice. He comes closer to him, and he does not turn away. And Avner then says that there's no choice that I have, and he kills him. Vayakeo Avner b'achrei achanis el achomesh. He uses the back of the sword, which is also sharp, el achomesh, under the fifth rib, which the Gemara says there are many vital internal organs there, and he dies on the spot. Vayipal sham vayamas. Tachtav, vayikal abam en amakom. Whoever came there saw him, vayamodu. They stopped, they were in shock, they saw that Asal has died. The Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses whether this was purely self-defense. He was a rodef. Asal was a rodef. He was running after Avner. So l'chora, you know, one should say that Avner didn't do anything wrong, and he doesn't deserve to be killed, as he will be soon. So what was his fault? The Gemara actually has a conversation about this. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Adav Mem Tes Amid Aleph, that the Gemara describes that Shlomo HaMelech wanted to kill Yoav because David HaMelech told him to, before David, beginning of Sefer Malachim. So he says to him, my time a katalti la'asoil, rodef, asol rodef, right? So why did he kill asoil? Because First Shlomo asks him, why do you kill Avner? As we'll see in the next parak. So he says, I'm the Goel Adam of Asal. So he says, Asal was a rodef. So what do you want from him? Hayalachala Hatzilo Le'echad Be'echad Me'ivarav. Halacha in Sanhedrin, no. What do you mean? He didn't have to kill him. He could have injured him and then run away. Right? You don't have to actually kill him. Lo yachilule. What do you mean? No, he couldn't. He didn't have a choice. So Yoav says, Hashta b'dova chamishas kavdes le be'echad me'ivar lo yachlis le. He was such a expert swordsman. He was able to get right onto the fifth rib. You're telling me he couldn't have just injured him? He could have injured him. And that's why Yoav defends himself against Shlomo. As Hashem, we will see. But that is a discussion. Well, why wasn't he? He could have killed him with Echad Meivarav. That is really Machlokas Achronim. The Mishmas Ozov discusses the Rashash on that Gemara. Sanhedrin Memtes says that limitation of Yochol Lahatzilu BeEchad Meivarav, that you have to break his leg instead of killing him, might not apply to the Nirdaf himself. To other people coming from the side. But the Nirdaf might not have a choice. He's Bahul. So he can do whatever he wants. He doesn't have to think, oh, I'm going to try to break his leg. So that's the Rosh Hashas Kasha. So there are various answers given. How was it that he still should have been Matzal Bechan Meivarav, says the Gemara. Maybe it's clear that he wasn't Bahul, because he was having a nice conversation with Asael. Or maybe here they both started together. It wasn't like one was a road from one. They were both roads from of each other, because both of the fight started. The whole war started. So there are different discussions regarding that halachic issue. But in any case, what happens, Yoav and Avishai follow, and they catch up to him, and Avner says, let's stop, enough bloodshed. Yoav says, yeah, if you would have said that in the morning, none of this would have happened. You're the one that started this game that ended up tragic. But either way, that's how the parak ends. There's no more bloodshed after this, but the body count is from the side of Shaul, there are 360 men that were killed, and from David, There were less. There were 20, 19 plus Asael. And the Perek ends off by saying this battle already kind of showed which way the tide was swinging. Fatiha Melchama Aruka, Ben Beis Shaul, Ben Beis David. It was a lengthy battle. V'David Holech V'chazek, U'Beit Shaul Holchim V'dalim. The Beis David was getting stronger, and the Beit Shaul was getting weaker. But Hashem, we'll have to continue next time with the follow-up story. Again, these three prakim are all connected, as we will see coming up.